One thing that surprised me as a tutor is how students that I've met with, I thought that there would be a certain amount of apathy, like, oh, I'm just here because my parents are making me. But students, 99% of the time, are engaged, trying to get better. And so sometimes, you know, people from different generations will look at one generation and say, oh, they're not, they don't care as much, they don't work as hard. But I've been inspired working with the people that I do.
Pod BN.
Here we go from the Play Normal Esports Studios in Bloomington. This is Pod BN. My name is Justin.
And this is Tyson.
Today we have on our guest Joe McDonald, local entrepreneur, guy who knows everybody and has done practically everything.
Before that, we want to thank our sponsor, Little Beaver Brewery. Not only can you visit their tap room on Currency Drive by Gold's Gym, but you can also buy some of their fine beers at local establishments such as Benny's and Hy-Vee. And I actually just learned about that, and I think I may be swinging by there after this.
That does sound good. We'll do that after the show, but for now, let's go ahead and go right to Joe McDonald. 3, 2, 1. This is Pod BN. We are sitting with Joe McDonald, entrepreneur here in the Bloomington Normal area. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks, Justin. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So we'll start off, just let us know a little bit about you. Did you grow up in the area, or let us know the kind of the background and the history?
Yeah. So I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. I came down here to Illinois State University to study, studied math while I was here, was interested in having an insurance career, which I did, got one out of school, worked at State Farm Insurance for 19 years, and then made a career change into what's now become the entrepreneurial business. So I actually, probably about 5 years before leaving State Farm, I decided to start dabbling in something that I had done when I was an undergraduate, which was math tutoring.
Okay.
And I had a lot of fun doing that, good feedback. I had always told people that if it all paid the same, I probably would have taught instead of doing insurance work. Mm-hmm. And then the insurance career was really rewarding. To a point, and then as I got further along, I think that inner teacher inside of me started wanting to come out, and I found myself getting to the point where I enjoyed the supervising, the training of new employees, the development aspect of things, as much or more of the technical work. So at the time, I was assistant coaching basketball here in town over at Normal Community High School. And one of the other coaches was a counselor over there. And I said, I'm kind of thinking about getting into tutoring a little bit. And so he was able to guide a person or two my way. It went well. And so it kind of grew over a period of about 5 years. It got to the point where I said to my wife, you know, we're far along here. I think I'd kind of like to maybe just have this be the only thing that I do. So moved out of State Farm at that time and into a small tutoring business. And I remember telling my wife at the time thinking, you know, it'd be really nice at some point if this got up to maybe 7 to 10 students a week, something like that. Well, we got to that point within 3 months.
Yeah.
And grew to a point where it got so busy that couldn't really handle students anymore. And so recruited some other tutors by reaching out to ISU. And so many people need help with math tutoring. I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, I wish I knew you when. Mm-hmm. And so now we're at a place where we've got 9 other tutors that are involved. So it's become, you know, part business, but really part mission, I would say, part ministry almost even. Mm-hmm. I don't get any payment from the other tutors, just the satisfaction of not saying no to people who need the help, plus the satisfaction of being able to help these students who are trying to become young professionals, want the opportunity to be able to explain things to people in technical ways. So, you know, sometimes fate just helps you identify what your calling is, and I feel that teaching is mine.
So I think you've been I think you're pretty humble when you say that you had an insurance career, because that's actually where that's where you and I met when I was there at State Farm. You're an actuary. You were an actuary at the time. So for those of you who don't know, there's a very rigorous set of exams you have to go through. It takes a good 5 or 6 years of constant studying to get that. So that was the beginning of your insurance career, right? Was solid math tests for 5 to 6 years.
It was, yeah. I was not necessarily very fun to be married to in the early going. It was kind of full time.
You kind of give up your early 20s to that.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then, so I mean, that's a pretty big commitment to make to a career. And then you also did well as far as promotion wise. You were at a director level where you were, you know, supervising a pretty large number of people too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. I remember starting that career and feeling like, you know, if I can just pass all these tests to get fully certified, man, I'll just have it made. Then I can just sit in a cubicle, do my work from 9 to 5 or whatever, and then go home and play video games the whole time, you know, really live. And then, you know, I had done some leadership things in college, just trying to, you know, develop and build a good resume. And then over time, things did go well eventually at in the State Farm job. And so, yeah, shortly after finishing the last of those exams, then they offered a position to go and to do some supervising. And so, you know, I was interested, curious. I mean, you're young, you feel like you want to try to see where you can go. And it was exciting. I learned a lot about how sheltered I had been growing up, how little I understood about the way people are, so it's made me a more well-rounded person, but there's a lot of that that goes on in my life, probably anybody's life. Just learn by trying and taking risks and failing and seeing where it grows.
So I'm interested to hear a little bit more about that. I clearly don't want to share specifics on anyone, but when you say things that you didn't encounter growing up, like, what do you come to mind? People's personal situations that you were having to help them through, things like that?
Yeah, so probably within about the first month that I was a supervisor was the first time somebody was sitting in my office and basically said I was a completely incompetent leader. Hmm. I've been called four-letter words in my office behind closed doors. I tend to think that I'm an upbeat personality, friendly personality overall, probably a little too ego-driven, I would say, at that stage of my life was probably a factor in there too. You know, there were some things I did. Plus, I was a math guy. I was all numbers-oriented. I wanted to lead by managing the numbers and not really managing the people. So I remember at one point, one of the more pivotal places in my career was probably where I said, guys, from now on, I'm going to try to be less of a chariot driver and more of a cheerleader. And so just that aspect of trying to be more sympathetic, supportive of other people, get outside myself. Just so many life lessons you learn by doing stuff wrong the first time and moving on from there.
Yeah.
In a previous life, I was in management, and I found that clicked in my head at a certain point in time too. That the people that we're managing are people. They have emotions. You don't know what they're going through anywhere else except where you see them in that 8 hours during the middle of the day. And it's easy. I was a sales manager especially, so it's easy to look at just the numbers, right?
Like right.
This person's coming in and this is what they're producing and this is what we're gaining out of it. It's almost looking at it like a commodity. So I think it's important that no matter what happens with the relationship professionally, that these are people that have lives, and you have to take that emotional part into consideration as well.
Yeah. So you had quite a bit invested in that career when you left. That's something. There's many reasons why I was happy you accepted our invitation to come, but I think that's one of the big parts of your story to me. I mean, it's one thing if you do a job for 19 years and you're you know, you're pulling a lever to make license plates, and you're like, hey, I want to do something else, right? But
right.
By all measures, you were an actuarial success story at State Farm, you know? But that didn't fulfill that like calling that you had. So, so that was, yeah, but it's a huge risk, right? That you took.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how these things, you know, the turns on the river of your career just come up by circumstances beyond your control. I had at one point found myself directing a department that was outside of that actuarial department. And that working in that area, I was the only person who had my particular set of skills in that department. So I felt unique, like I was bringing a specific value to it that, you know, was really just provide a lot of satisfaction. Like I was always able to help somebody who didn't have the knowledge that I did. And learned a lot about management, had a very family feel there to me. It felt like different departments in large organizations are led in different ways too. So every department within a large organization has its own culture. And for me, it just so happened when I look back over my entire career that my time spent in that department was one where I really felt most at home. And business being the way it is, there just came a time where some restructuring needed to happen. And I was relocated back into a different department. And so that new department just didn't quite fit overall. It was actually going back to the actuarial department where I started. Mm-hmm. And when you're the only actuary in a department of non-actuaries, you feel unique. And at my stage, I had probably hit what would have been the ceiling on my own personal capabilities as I saw them. Now I was probably average at best among my peers. And for my nature personally, it just feels good to excel in what you're doing, doing something that you feel like is special, unique, and that wasn't there anymore. I feel like at that point, it probably became easier for me to feel dissatisfied, nitpicking at little things that really probably shouldn't have been annoying or bothersome. And so, you know, it was that change, landing in that environment, that probably got me thinking for the first time, you know, maybe it's time to start looking for something else. And so I'm a planner, wasn't planning to make any kind of a jump. But right around then was when I was doing the basketball coaching and kind of led into that dabbling, which became what's been a real connection. I love what I'm doing. I think if you go back and look at things I volunteered at, it passed over time. I tell my wife that I tend to have like a 3-year burnout cycle for stuff. The first year is awesome and you're in it and it's new. And then you kind of make it better in year two and maybe plateau in year three. But with this tutoring, I have never begun to get tired of it. I feel like every hour is a productive hour. I feel like my wife and I don't have children. I feel like it's a way to stay young, being connected. I mostly tutor high school students, college students, and so I learn a little more of what's in style.
And so how long ago was that when you started the tutoring business?
Yeah, so it's been 9 years.
9 years, not
now.
Long, okay.
Right, yeah. It'll be 6 years since I left State Farm this spring, and so it was about 3 years that I'd been dabbling in it. Just at the normal public library, I just walked in one day and sat down with somebody and struggled through it a little bit. In the early years, I had to sometimes say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to go look on the computer and figure it out. So I eventually did figure it out, and it's grown. Yeah, organically. I just feel like the natural passion that I have for it and that feeling like I can come home at the end of the day. I admire people who work in large corporations because wheels move slowly, projects take a long time. The nature of that very mathy job that I had back there was vastly underappreciated and not understood by others. So there's a reason that they get paid really well for that. Mm-hmm. But this job is... Some advice that I tend to give to people is to say, just as a curiosity question, like, how would you fill in the end of this sentence? I am a blank. Like, what word best describes you as a person? And I've come to feel through the years, like, to me, it's that I am a teacher. And that's what I'm doing, and feel very blessed for being able to continue to do it.
So you said you mainly high school and college, and that would make, I mean, that makes a lot of sense when you think about our area, right? We have, what, five high schools in Bloomington Normal, not counting the surrounding communities, and then we have Illinois State University, Illinois Wesleyan University, Heartland Community College. Do you see that most of your work is geared towards one of those institutions, or is it pretty spread out through all?
Yeah. You know, I think since I started with my coaching was at Normal Community High School, and so they have in time, without my asking, just very generously put my name and contact information on their website, so a lot of parents tend to find me that way. I now happen to live a block from Normal Community West High School, so I actually volunteer there now on Fridays. I go in for a few hours to just help students that need it. And so I'm a certified substitute teacher, so I've done some long-term subs for teachers who are on maternity leave. So there's lots of opportunity with the high school.
Yeah.
And then, you know, usually when you're around fifth grade, sixth grade, it feels, I think, as a parent, a little too young to be hiring a tutor at that level of math. But once college starts getting closer and you're feeling like these grades really matter for my future, then it's time. Especially if you're going to public school and you're not paying for a tuition, willing to kind of do all you can to help get your child that extra cushion that they need.
I think one-on-one works so much better with math with some people. I'm speaking from experience. I struggle with math through like elementary school and junior high. And my mom hired me a tutor. I want to say it was eighth grade. I'm trying to think back. It was eighth grade, freshman year, somewhere around that range of high school. And it was just one summer. It was like 3 months of just one-on-one study, and like went up so far the following year on my ability to comprehend, you know, catch up to kind of the rest of the class, and even honestly probably be in the top part of that with the math side. But it was just sitting in the classroom. I kind of got lost a lot, and I was too shy to say I was lost, and you know, some of those things. But having the one-on-one and the person sitting across from you go, "Do you understand?" And you can say, "Nope," and they have to think of a different way to explain it to me. But yeah, I mean, it really helps. So I do think what you're doing is very valuable, because if people aren't willing to do that, you'll have people that you have the children and kids that sit through the class, not, you know, too scared to speak up for too long, and then they're going to graduate and still never comprehend some of those things. So I do think it's important.
So do you feel like that tutoring, a lot of times what I see is that it's a change in confidence that makes all the difference, and I feel like I'm hearing you say like your math career significantly improved as a result of this relatively short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think every student would be different. For me, it really took what worked for me was the tutor was willing to put it in terms that I understood. You know, like when we start talking about probability and odds, and he starts talking about, you know, horse races or you know, he goes, "Do you know how to play poker?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And you know, it starts explaining some things with me that way. And it just made me understand it. And then I could relate it to you know, the pen and paper. But just initially, just finding ways to relate it to me and how I could easily understand it helped me significantly.
I studied to be a math teacher as well. Switched at the last second into what we call pure math. So that's like more proof-based things. And then realized I needed money for stuff. And so that's how I got in that actuary gig. Harsh realization, but if you're going to get married, you need money. Anyway.
I will say, Tyson, that you reminded me that when I was in that stage of life where I was contemplating, is there something else I need to do with my path, that you were and I were working closely at the time, and I do specifically remember you mentioning that you had been a tutor and charged whatever back in the day, and whatever number you said, I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was possible, and I would say that probably did in some way kind of really start my ball rolling down in the right direction.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that coincided with you thinking about that. So, yeah, I used to tutor as a college job So that's kind of funny.
I think it's often funny in any kind of business how people are surprised that the skills they have are that valuable to other people. You know, I found myself doing contract jobs for people at times in my life, where it's like, oh, you're going to pay me to do that? Yeah, I'll do that. I think we don't realize always that our whatever talent we do have is more valuable to other people that may not have it. So
I think tutoring is so important with math, though, because people just understand it so differently and are driven by different things. So I personally was always just driven by the fact that I just enjoyed solving little puzzles. Like, it was intrinsically an enjoyable activity to me to get a right answer. And I think most people who do excel at math kind of have that internal drive to them where it just, you know, it's like playing a video game. It's just fun. You don't have to have someone, like, you know, force you to do it. Other people are more practical, where if they can't see how they're ever going to use this thing, then they don't get why they're learning it. Like, when would I ever learn trigonometry? And you got to kind of go that bent. And then other people, you know, you just have to pass the class in order to get through high school so you can have a high school degree, right? And that's a different sort of approach, where you can sort of do short-term memorization tricks. And but when you're teaching a class of 20, 30 kids, you can't individualize the instruction in that way, but that's something that you can do.
We want to thank our sponsor, Play Normal Esports, located at 802 South El Dorado Road in Bloomington. In February, they have a couple great Fortnite opportunities. February 9th is a 2v2 tournament. February 23rd is a 1v1 tournament. So be sure to visit their website at playnormalesports.com for more information and get your game on.
So, Joe, it's been great to hear your background. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. And I love hearing about the math tutoring business. Let's also talk about some other stuff that you've been involved in, either in the past or now in the community. What comes to mind?
Yeah, thanks. So I suppose going back to when I was rising in my insurance career and ambitious in leadership, I had heard about a program in town called Leadership McLean County. This was a competitive interview process where, and it just came off as being something where it was a real great way to learn about the community and possibly get involved in leadership in the community. And so, you know, briefly, it runs through the course of a school year. You go through and get oriented to a lot of different aspects of our community, like education, healthcare, government, social services, and it was a wonderful experience. By the time I came through it, I felt very satisfied with it. It turned out that a few years later, I was asked if I wanted to be a facilitator for that class, and so I spent 3 years being the homeroom teacher, tracking assignments, those types of things. Another thing that came out during that time was I was kind of curious about leadership in the community, maybe in government, and it just so happened that the county clerk at that time, her name is Peggy Ann Milton, you may or may not know her, but we were sitting on a bus riding somewhere together, and I said, so how did you get your start? And she said that she started out as an election judge. What's an election judge? So she taught me. And, you know, those are the folks that are there checking people in during the elections and so forth. Easy way to get in. So I did that. Did for several years, was one of those volunteers, enjoyed it quite a bit. Got a taste for leadership in the community.
Yeah.
That's through the Chamber of Commerce, right?
Is that who runs it? Yeah. The program's been going probably about 25 years now.
It's a big time commitment. I mean, it might have changed, but I know it's like every Friday or a whole day people have to take off from their normal work to come go through this program. But the experience is, I've never done it myself. I have a number of friends that have gone through the program, and they all have a lot of positive things to say about it.
Yeah, one of the keys there, in order to graduate, you need to find a need in the community and basically fill it. And so we, for our project, chose the Path Crisis Center to help them put a marketing plan together. Did a radio commercial, put out a 12-month marketing plan, and just really made a direct impact. So I love the aspect that we were able to actually go out and help the community immediately.
I serve on the Beyond the Books Education Foundation board currently, and they just did a leadership. McLean County had a group that did a project for us, help us, similar thing, marketing. They put together like a nice video that we could use for social. And that, I mean, LMC is a cool program to itself, but what they give back by doing that to nonprofits like PATH and Beyond the Books, we don't have the resources to do those things ourselves.
Yeah.
So when you have a group that steps up and says, we can do this for you and created a professional grade video that then we can use in all of our fundraisers and social media and that type of stuff, it really does help out those nonprofits around the community also. So
you said that goes on every year?
It does.
Like once a year or twice?
It does. It goes on once a year.
Okay.
Yeah, it basically runs the school year. Usually about 30 people are selected every year.
Okay. And if people are interested in applying for that, does anyone can apply for it if they're interested, right?
Sure can. They can go to the Chamber of Commerce website.
Yeah, McLean County Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. You can click on programs, and they have a link right there.
And I think I applied for it last year, and through State Farm, I was accepted, but I was also changing jobs at the time, so I didn't. I think with the training of the new job, I ended up having to decline it because I couldn't be away from work that long. The process was last year, and I assume is still for State Farm employees that there's a like a block of State Farm employees, so you actually can apply through State Farm. You don't need to do it separately. So anyone out there who's interested, they can talk to their manager about it and see what the details of that are. What else? You've also, I remember seeing you in I couldn't remember what play it was. I remember you were, I think you were a game show host that sung or something like that. What?
So, yeah, I was born with a little bit of ham in me, enjoyed being on stage, that type of thing. Now, all through high school, we were an athletic family, so I was always in sports, never gave thought to any theater. And then somewhere, probably around that same season of life when I was wondering what I would do with it, I had on as a bucket list item, maybe someday I would just be in one play. I didn't care where. And my wife is involved with the Kiwanis Club at the time, and they had an outing over at Community Players Theater here in town. 96 or 97-year-old theater right now, entirely volunteer-run.
That's over on Tawanda by the post office, right?
That's right.
That this, okay.
Mm-hmm. Technically, I think on Robin Hood Lane, but wonderful, wonderful place. And so I went to watch it. We were at intermission, and I was out getting some snacks, and a friend of mine happened to be in there who was involved in the theater, casually mentioned my bucket list item, and she said, well, there's auditions for Hairspray this weekend.
Hairspray, that's what it was. Okay.
And I'm like, sounds good. In my mind, I'm thinking, what's a Hairspray? And she said the name of the character was Corny Collins is what she said. I didn't know what that meant. Turns out, yeah, it was the host of a show within the play. So I went out, auditioned, did in fact happen to get that part. And as they say, sometimes theater gets in your blood and you stick with it. So I've done about one show every year for, that was 2012 when I went the first time. So 6 or 7 shows so far.
What else have you done?
Let's see. There was a Putnam County Spelling Bee. Maybe some more known ones were Little Mermaid. I played Prince Eric's guardian. I was in Legally Blonde playing the role of Professor Callahan, who's the bad guy. Was in Shrek. Probably maybe the most notable role would have been in Beauty and the Beast. I played the Candlestick Lumiere, kind of a comical character for that.
So that time you went in there for the audition the next day, that was the first time you've ever done a play?
Yes, wow. I had done.
I'm sorry, I just had to go back to that. That's surprising. And I mean, that's extremely courageous to be able to go and just audition. And then I think it takes some courage to audition, but then when you hear you got it and you realize you got to actually go through with it, that would be another fear, another level of fear would set in there.
And a singing part, no less, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, the fact that I enjoyed some singing, I had done some skits, developed some skits for some church retreats and things like that, so I had enjoyed it. But honestly, yeah, I went into that audition saying, I'm going here so that I can learn to audition.
Right.
I can't imagine me getting anything, but I'm going to try it. It was very nerve-wracking for all the normal reasons, plus people you know, you walk in and there's some pockets of people who already know each other. So yeah. It's you kind of feel a little like an outsider, and I knew nothing about theater, and so felt very lucky.
I know several people that are involved at the Community Players Theater. But I'll be honest, it's always been in the back of my head, too, that maybe someday I'll give it a shot. But that's just, I don't know. Just hearing your story makes me, like, get butterflies in my stomach. It'd be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I did stand-up comedy for a charity a couple years ago for the first time, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of that. It was just like this always sounded fun, but until it becomes reality and you actually have to do it, then it sounds a little nerve-wracking, so...
Well, and let's take the value out of that, too, thinking about community leadership as well. Sooner or later, you know, professionally or in the community, we're called upon to be able to speak in front of other people, including when we have butterflies in the stomach.
Yeah.
What a safe way to do it. It's why I love sports, too. Safe places to try something, maybe fail at something, but definitely grow at it. And, boy, when you're standing in front of a group of strangers and they're listening to you sing and judging you as you do it, what a way to step outside your comfort zone, but in a very welcoming, supportive environment. I will go back and tell you, when my mother passed away a few years ago, the most heartfelt, widespread support that I got overall came through the people who were in my theater family. Really? It just happened to be the way they are, giving, nurturing, loving people. And so it's really added a whole dimension to life.
Well, that's why I think it's so interesting you said when you first came in that you felt like you didn't have a place there, because that's how I knew you with that group, is they're so tight-knit. And I see on social media, everyone's always kind of like, there's this great community there. So you were really welcomed in quite easily, despite that initial maybe feeling of being out of place, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's not necessarily... Just like it's awkward to walk into a place for the first time, it can also be not human nature to reach out to the stranger in the room, too. And that's what I was. Nobody knew me in that room. So it takes a special type of person to be. And I actually try to be that person in auditions now. When I look and I see, who do I not know in here? And let's go and make them feel comfortable. So that's because it's just such a nervous experience in there.
So is that a total volunteer-run organization?
Absolutely, yes.
And are most people who have some kind of theater training in their past that are doing it? Is it a mixed bag?
Yeah, they have. Most have a passion for theater since they were young. But no experience is required, truly none. They just finished a set of auditions, and every year I see new faces coming in.
I heard The Wedding Singer, right?
It was. It kills me that I can't. But, you know, students come first. I work in the evenings.
Yeah.
The director, the choreographer, very good friends of mine. I would love to have been in that show.
I'm excited. I have a friend that's going to be. They got a part in there. I'm excited.
I could see you doing Ben Stiller's part. I think you could pull that off.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just their board leadership is quite young. I mean, people might tend to think that theater might just be, you know, people who are living in a retirement home or something like that. But no, they are making improvements. They have good forethought. They're planning. In fact, I think they have gotten some significant financial contributions in recent years. It's just really impressive for us to have what may be the oldest running all-volunteer theater in the country. There aren't many. We may be the oldest.
Yeah. And the right play, the one I saw, Airspray, I mean, it was quality. Like, it did not look like, hey, this is a bunch of amateurs who put on a show. Like, this is, or volunteers, you know, like, it was a really good time. I would very much encourage people to go. Now that my kids are getting older, I'd like to go over more often.
I think it's one of those things in Bloomington Normal when people say there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
That always comes to my mind. I mean, it's such a unique thing. It's not that there's anything wrong with going to the movie or dinner in a movie, but there's so many other things you could do in the community. And I think that's one of them that's unique that people could really get hooked on.
I knew you had it in you from work one time when there were. So a quick story. There were like three company goals. Basically, it's like produce results, be efficient, and develop people. And so each of the directors in the department picked one. And Joel had development, and they decided to run it like it was a political campaign. So I think the results was the Democrats and the No, I care. Development was the Democrats and results was the Republicans and the efficiencies were the independents. And so Joel was going to be the development. And he comes up and does an extremely compelling Barack Obama impression. Like, it was either Abraham Lincoln or Barack Obama. It was, like, somewhere in the middle, but, like, either one of them worked. And it was, like, it was really, really good. And then these other two nerdy guys like me come up, and they're like, well, I didn't prepare a character. I was just going to read some stuff. It was like, Joe has a future in theater.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about trying to find your skills, too. You know, that's why you want to get out and just try different things. I mean, I tried basketball coaching, as I mentioned, a couple times for a while. I was okay at it. Maybe wasn't great at it.
How'd you get into that? You said you were an athlete growing up. Was basketball mm-hmm. kind of your sport? Or
Yeah, it was. It was. And as a small background to that, so for a while I was an active blogger. So I would just blog about thoughts, things, those types of things. And my college roommate of mine, his wife happened to be out looking and saw one of my blog posts saying at some point, I'm kind of thinking about maybe coaching basketball. And so she told my friend, who called me immediately because tryouts were about to start with the sophomore basketball team, and we got in. Very and cool. Did that. Ended up being a five-year journey, wonderful five-year journey as part of that also. And, you know, highs, lows, all the things that sports teach you.
Yeah.
My father was an athletic director for a high school where I grew up, too. So I also thought maybe I had some genetics working in me that would have worked for that.
What I enjoy about listening to you, Joe, is how just that, like, I think I want to try this, and you go and try it. You know, with the theater, with basketball, with making the leap to entrepreneurship, with the tutoring. I think that's what sometimes when people are maybe at home and they're just bored with their life, that they just need to do more of. You know, it's like, why not? Just go try it. And it doesn't, you know, you don't have to wait for the opportunity. You put it out in the universe a little bit with a blog and a phone call happens. So talk to people about what you're interested in, and things kind of come your way sometimes.
And it can be through your paid work. It can be through outside of that. Your work can be something that can enable your passions. And then, you know, if your passions really take off, then maybe they can replace it. But I do see a lot of times with the people that I work with, where there's a kind of this feeling that, like, work has to be your primary contribution to society and what you drive your most of your, like, self-worth out of. And that's a great goal to have, and I would never tell someone to not chase that goal. But there's also a lot of jobs where someone's got to do that job. It's something that you don't hate. Like, if you hate your job, you got to get out of it because it's going to kill you, right? It's going to crush your spirit, and you're going to make everything miserable. But, I mean, if you work with good people, if you, on the whole, enjoy more days than you don't in your job, and it gives you the freedom to do other things that you're passionate about, whether that be community service or spending time with your kids or whatever.
A podcast.
So then there are people who do podcasts on the side, and then the podcasts just, like, take way off, and that replaces their paid job. So
someday.
Any sponsors out there listening? But anyway, you're just a great example to remind people of that, so appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I can mention a couple other things, too, if it helps. I'm naturally introverted. It may not come across. People say you're not introverted when I talk in forums like this, but I am. And so, you know, that's part of the risk-taking, too, to go out and try things. I had, the last 18 months, been trying something to get certified as what's called a Dale Carnegie training instructor. I had gone through a course which teaches people how to be better professionals, how to relate to people, how to disagree with people in an agreeable way, how to remember names better. And so I had wondered if it's possible for an introverted person to become more extroverted. And you have to be very extroverted in order to lead these courses. It's a 24-hour course spread over 8 weeks. I did eventually get certified for that. I learned a lot about myself as a teacher, things that I actually applied. I'm a part-time instructor at Illinois State University as well, so I think it helped me become a better teacher there. And then, you know, when we got to the end, I felt like I passed certification, became fully certified, and I've probably gained about all I can gain out of this. I felt like overall my energy probably just didn't quite match up to do that full time. But again, it was very, I thought that I was a loud speaker, and people said I needed to be more dynamic in the way that I talked. And so, you know, again, just another leap of faith trying to get outside of myself. I didn't become an extrovert as a result of this, but I inched more in that direction. And so that was another what I might call successful failure, perhaps, if we want to think of it that way, mm-hmm. or just trying something out new.
Is that something that people can look into more if they're interested? Is that something that you had to, like, have an in to do, or is that publicly available?
No. If anybody is interested in Dale Carnegie training, they are hiring and training instructors actively. Yes, they welcomed me with open arms. A wonderful mentor there named Steve Garland, who is my boss.
I've heard Steve speak before.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
And he was my mentor. I had that privilege for 18 months. So, yes, anybody, I'd welcome the chance to talk with anybody about who might have an interest in, if they have a skill of facilitating, if they believe in basic principles of trying to develop relationships and get to a better station in life. I absolutely recommend it if you have that talent within you.
Yeah, I think I've heard him speak twice. He is a very dynamic speaker. Great program he put on. So, so we talked, you know, you kind of jump into doing plays and tutoring and Dale Carnegie. What's some things that are probably leading up in the future? What are you thinking? What have you been pondering about over the last like couple months that you think maybe I'll try that someday?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, part of the reckoning as I got to the tail end of the Dale Carnegie. I should mention I'm also in a book club, and by the way, I suppose I should say we are happy to have members into our book club. We meet once a month. We call it Book Club for Business Growth. There's a very small group of us right now. Again, just a random twist of fate. My wife forwarded me an email and said, this looks like something you might be interested in. And I went into it. Now we've been going for a year and a half. And the books that we've read as a result of that has developed that habit in me, mm-hmm. has raised some ideas in my mind about entrepreneurship. And as I was deciding to phase out of the Carnegie, I thought, because of some of what I'd read in my book club books, you really want to invest in what you do best and be focused. And so I've been taking the time, the mental time that I had spent thinking about how do I get ready for these Carnegie presentations, and have been thinking about how can I build a YouTube channel with videos for math tutoring. What's the future of online tutoring? And so I've dabbled a little bit in that. I've tutored some people in California, Florida, and so on. What are ways to try to build more community across different schools with the counselors? So I've been trying to reach out and visit with different counselors at different schools. That's a little bit of sales, too. I mean, there's success and failure in that. But I think that for 2019, you know, we just moved into a new year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, one of my New Year's resolutions to myself is I want to get out and try to meet 10 new people at least, because I feel like new paths in life have come by stepping out and reaching out to meet other people. And so 2019 is going to be about trying to be a little more humble of a person overall. As I mentioned, ego has been a big part of my past, and also trying to be productive and just to make this gift that I've been blessed with, to try to make it really flower in the community and put all in that.
Very good.
So to go back to the, I made a note before the break, circle back to the math tutoring a little bit. Had a couple questions for you on that. I'd be curious to hear from you. First, do you see any trends or changes in the kind of things that students get caught up on as you've been doing this for 9 years? Like in particular, as Common Core has come in, is there anything that from your perspective, like either positively or negatively in the students that you're working with?
You know, I think one thing that's changed from the time when I remember going to high school is that it's been more of a trend for homework not to be graded. And there's very valid reasons for that. It's easier for students to share answers than it's ever been before. So in a way, it's easier for people to just pad their grades by copying off of friends, so to speak. And so, and that can, that has its pluses and minuses like anything else. So it's been a source of frustration for some parents as they've talked to me initially to say they're getting, doing all the homework and they're not doing well on the quizzes and tests. So what's the issue with that? And so that's one change. The Common Core, I would say, not, again, not that I'm in the middle of it or can speak as an authority, but it's pushed some learning down to younger levels maybe than used to be done. I've seen people who are eighth graders trying to take geometry. I didn't take geometry till I was a sophomore.
Yeah, same here.
That's not prevailing, but I saw a trend in that in a while. So other things that just kind of accelerate, you know, math learning. And so also the possibility for people being a little overwhelmed perhaps or missing a step in there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, there's probably good reasons for that. It may be internationally, other countries have succeeded in that, and so we're marching along that path, involved with unions. So just so many pressures facing our teachers, and it makes me really happy to be able to be part of the overall community to fill this supplemental role so that we can continue to have a strong community that attracts people to come and live here.
Something about the homework not being graded that's occurred to me. My two oldest children are in elementary school, so my oldest one's in third grade, and he's just started to have like real legit homework at this point, where every night he's got to do something. Which, I mean, I don't remember doing that much homework at age eight, but anyway, it has occurred to me before that he greatly benefits from the stable home environment that we're able to provide for him. You know, we have a routine. My wife and I are both college educated and organized people who are dedicated to school, so we can help him out. We set aside time in a space that is quiet and safe for him to do his homework, and he still kind of has a hard time with it. And that his homework is graded. And it's occurred to me before that, you know, other third graders who aren't in a stable home environment or maybe in a one-parent home, or maybe their parents are doing shift work or, you know, are having trouble with housing for whatever reason, like, through no fault of their own, their grades just start dipping, because so much of it, it almost feels like I'm being graded as a parent as much as he's being graded as a student. Like, if I don't get him to make this thing right, then he's going to get a bad grade. And I don't know. I'm not sure what the solution is, but the not grading of homework to me almost seems a bit fairer in a way, because they're going to get hit if they don't understand on the quiz anyway, but then to continually hit them for not doing homework may not be something that they can necessarily control. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but
yeah, so that expectation, that feeling like in a way you were being judged as well, is that something that you feel came internally or something that came from things that were said from the school system?
Yeah, it'll come along like instructions. Like the homework usually has instructions for him and then the instructions of what I as a parent am supposed to do. Like you should review his writing and help him edit it and then sign off that you think that it's okay for him to turn in. And I'm like, eh, I guess I can do that. But
I wasn't familiar with that. I can see where that would.
Yeah, it just triggered that thought. Thank you for letting me go down that rabbit hole a little bit.
Always glad to know what's happening at all levels of education these days.
Good. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I guess I just wanted to say when we were finishing up that it was interesting to me for hearing you to say that I interviewed. It was interesting for me to hear you say that I influenced you, because you had a great influence over my career. I wasn't really sure where I was going when I first started working for you, and you really helped me see how my skills could match up with career options and set me on what I think was a really, really good path for me, where I am feeling very rewarded in my career. And so I'm glad that you continue to be in a position where you can do that for other people. I think you're doing great things in the community, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Definitely. And towards that point of my career, especially, the relationships I had with my direct reports were some of the things that really kept the job enjoyable for me. And yeah, I can see the story and the growth and where your career has gone also. And to think about where we were at the start and how things have blossomed from there, and risks that you and I know took along the way in terms of choices and career paths that have led you mm-hmm. to a position where you're not only leading at State Farm, but leading in the community, leading a podcast, reaching out to people around us and making this a better place to live. I commend you both, and thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, and Joe, I'll echo a little bit of what Tyson said. I love your flavor for life, so this has been a great show, I think. I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to let people know where to find more information about you, especially if they're interested in anything that you have to offer as far as tutoring goes. So do you have a website that we can plug for you?
Yeah, thanks for your generosity on that. The name of our business is Bloomington Normal Math Tutoring. That can be found at bntutor.com. So that's B as in Bloomington, N as in Normal, tutor.com. We teach math at basically all levels, although most people find us at grades 6 and up. But we go all the way through college. I myself personally also do accounting, have dabbled a little bit in physics as well. Most things that involve numbers will do that. But we've got a wonderful diversity of people in age, gender, price ranges, and that's something that's happened rather accidentally over time, but also has been a very wonderful benefit to be able to offer parents who call in with concern about how they'll be able to meet their students' needs. So, yeah, very happy to answer any questions that people might have about their tutoring needs.
And if someone also might be interested in being a tutor, can they contact you through that too so you can meet them to see if you've got anything they can do?
Definitely, yes. Okay. Yeah, happy. And it's people ask, are you hiring anyone? And I see myself more as a facilitator than a boss. We're independent contractors. I don't employ people. Like I said, I don't get any money as part of that. But I usually just have a conversation to kind of find out your background with tutoring, your interest, and let them observe me tutoring for a while. And yeah, happy to have them join the network.
Okay. And I will also put links to all of the different organizations that you've talked about. I'll put links to those in the show notes here. So where you're listening to this, look down in the description, and they'll have places you can find more information about all these things.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot for coming in, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I really enjoyed talking to Joe. I know you didn't know him before he came on here, but clearly we've got a history going back, and I've always just been really impressed by him.
Yeah, because you knew Joe so well, I actually on purpose didn't try to learn too much about him. I thought that would hopefully provide some balance of me being inquisitive and trying to learn more about him throughout the podcast. But he really is an interesting guy. I love the ideas that he comes up with where he's, you know, says something, puts it out in the universe, and says, I'm going to go give this a try.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I think more people should just try the things that they're thinking about.
And I think also recognizing that a big part of math is that it can be a struggle. And it can be hard at first. And then it's rewarding to struggle through that and to really feel that success in life.
Yeah, and leverage the relationships around you. I mean, like I said, if you're really good at something and others aren't, help those that aren't. And if you're not really good at something, there's going to be someone out there that probably has that skill set that can help you out. And that's how we as a society evolve, right? We helping each other. So
yeah.
I think we need more people like that for sure.
Well, if video games is something that you are struggling with or something that you're talented at and want to do with other people, a great place to do that is at our sponsor, Play Normal Esports. There's a bunch of people together playing team games, playing different kinds of tournaments, a neat community here that you could join just by walking in the door.
And don't forget that February 1st and February 15th, they have their bi-weekly two-stage tournament of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. You can win some cash prizes there, which is pretty cool. And our other sponsor, Little Beaver Brewery, I want to congratulate them. They won the new and emerging business at the McLean County Chamber of Commerce Gala.
Oh, that's so great. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so they brought home some hardware the other day, and it's cool that they're a sponsor of ours so we can make sure that more people know about it.
Yeah, great. All right, are we done?
Let's be done. Today we have on our guest Joe McDonald, local entrepreneur, guy who knows everybody and has done practically everything.
Before we get into Joe, That's a gross thing to say, man. Oh, I suck at this part. We have to have one outtake, though. Before that, we want to...
This is why we don't do this live.
Yeah.